Welcome to Toys to Titles Down Under Dynasty Edition with myself, your host, At Life from the Ben, and with me, as usual, my co-host, At FF Doormat. How are you today, Matt?
Mate, I'm doing wonderfully well. As always, it's good to be podcasting with you again. It's been a bit of a nice little break we've had, but season's getting closer, so time to roll up the sleeves and start cranking out some content.
Yeah, mate, back to the salt mines. Been really well. Just we've both been flat out with work at the moment, and things just haven't aligned. But we'll make sure to, you know, make a better effort going forward. Most of that's been on me, just flat out like a lizard drinking. I'm all right. Victoria's gone into lockdown again, same as New South Wales. Because of New South Wales, I plan to blame firmly on you, New South Walesians. Hopefully, it's only meant to be 5 days. Hopefully, it lifts after 5 days and things are back to normal. But hopefully, we just this hard lockdown just smashes it out, and the virus gets to the level that it needs to get to for all of us to be out and about again.
Yeah, I think it's not too bad in Melbourne, right? The numbers in Sydney are a bit haywire, so I think it's going to be, you know, probably a couple of months for us, but this is the first sort of real lockdown we've had. We've been pretty fortunate. I can't complain too much. So, mate, stay home and then get these startup leads going. That's pretty much what's happening, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the premise of today's episode was we were going to talk about players that we think will come into the positional top 12 finisher at their position. So finishes a quarterback one, running back one, wide receiver one, and players who we think will drop out of that conversation this time next year. And the ADP we are going to use for this exercise is the ADP that Sleeper, the fantasy site Sleeper, provides. It's got that on Twitter for anybody to use. I think it's the best ADP to be doing for this episode, this kind of exercise, because of the sample size of the ADP. Massive sample size, obviously, being Sleeper's ADP. And I think it's more reflective of fantasy leagues overall. You know, you've got your hardcore users, your casual users, your home league kind of leagues. So I think it's a great ADP to be using for this kind of exercise, and probably that ADP we would use for exercises like this going forward whilst they continue to release it. So, Matt, did you want to jump right into it? Do you think that we should share the screen while we're discussing, or?
Yeah, Matt, yeah, we can do it. Off.
Yeah, you want me to? All right.
I'll go to your leadership. What do you reckon?
I'm happy to do either.
One thing I do need you to do is just to change those filters, because I'm not having much luck, mate, clearing these Google Sheet fields for whatever reason. Rookie that, error. So
rookie error. Man, it's all good. All right. I'll filter on the quarterbacks. I will start with the quarterbacks. Let's make this conversational for the viewers by sharing the sheet. Share screen. Can you share that? See that? Can you see the ADP now?
Got it. Yep. Beauty.
Okay.
I think that's the June. I think that's the June tab right there.
Yeah. My bad. It's the wrong one. Let's go to, yeah. Here we go. This is the latest ADP from Sleeper, July 13th, 2021. And we are going to talk about, first off, the quarterbacks we think will drop out of the quarterback one conversation and the quarterbacks we think will come in. So, Matt, who do you have dropping out?
So I think this one, we both said the top seven, we think, is pretty much going to stay the same in some order next year. So they're pretty much set in stone. And then it looks at the bottom five, I guess. So for me, it was Russell Wilson, just because of his age. I think he's going to be 32, 33 next year. So he's getting older for the quarterbacks. And I just think as long as Pete Carroll's there, they're going to let him throw early and then just restrict him as they do, which would be such a shame, because he's got a ton of weapons. He's great talent. He creates mismatches. you know, 101. So it opens up his wide receivers. So just putting all that together with his age, we're really just in dynasty and with his coach and that run first offense towards the end of the year when it really matters. I think a few of us have been scarred. I sort of owned him in a couple of leagues in the finals, and he's got me a couple of donuts. So maybe it's a bit of hate from my side, but I've got to leave Russell Wilson out of the top 12.
That's a fair call. You know, the age combined with, I think is he turning 33?
I think it's 33, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he's on the smaller side and he uses his legs a little bit. And then you've got the run first nature of the Seahawks offense, or at least what Pete Carroll, you know, pertains that they want to be. So I think all those things make sense. And when you just look at some of the young names, he just seems like the obvious one to drop out because, as you mentioned, Mahomes, Allen, Murray, Jackson, Herbert, Dak, Lawrence. I can't see those guys going anywhere. Certainly not out of the top 12. No way.
Yeah, it takes something major, you know, like to get any of those guys down that far. So, I, you know, much more likely that we're just ageist pricks and we drop Russell Wilson out.
So the quarterback I have coming out is Jalen Hurts. I just don't think Hurts is that good. And, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, they've got the capital going into next year's draft to replace him if they want to. You're already hearing about Deshaun Watson rumors from Adam Schefter. And maybe this will come back to bite me. You know, maybe he'll be elevated like Lamar Jackson, but I just can't see it. And it feels a bit like cheating because at quarterback 12, he's right on the cusp. But I got to pick somebody. You pick Wilson, and it's you know, it's there's nobody else that I feel really, really certain about is going to drop out. And I feel really quite confident that Hurts won't be in the top 12.
Yeah, look, I can see that argument. For me, I think he stays there or thereabouts. I think the guys we sort of spoke about, the only other guys would be these rookies. Maybe Lancer Fields, if they don't get much playing time, might sort of drop out. I doubt it. So, look, I do like Hurts. I think he stays there, but I can see why you're fading him.
And, Matt, talk about the quarterback you have coming into the top 12.
Well, for me, it's Zach Wilson. I think he's going to start game one. I like his talent. I like what they're building around him. He's got a couple of good pass catchers there. Michael Carter, I like Michael Carter. And I think the Gase effect is just going to lift that whole franchise. We saw what happened when he left Tannehill. And so I think if he went to a different organization, he'd probably be higher already, maybe not in the top 12, but he'd be there or thereabouts. You know, I can't understand why he's not a bit higher. But for me, I think he's going to push into that, even top 10 really. But for this exercise, I'll have him at top 12 next year.
The hate with Wilson is people just didn't know him like they knew Fields or Lance. I mean, even though Trey Lance went to a small school like North Dakota State, we've been talking about Trey Lance for a couple of years. Justin Fields we've been talking about since the end of the league. Zach Wilson came from nowhere out of BYU, right? And I think that's why people, that combined with the fact that the Jets and their recent history are the things pushing him down, I think that he shouldn't be that far below the other quarterbacks, you know, Fields and Lance as far as ADP. All the whispers that have come out post-NFL draft seems like most teams had him firmly as the quarterback too. So we'll see how that plays out. The quarterback I have going into the top 12 is Tua. Remember, 18 months ago, it was all tank for Tua, right? And now people are writing me off. You know, they don't think that he's any good. He's small. He hasn't got a special arm and blah, blah, blah. I think the problem for Tua last year was he didn't, all his players on that team, with the exception of Gesicki, all the wide receivers are like jump ball players, contested catch players. He didn't have anybody who could get open at all. And now he's got two guys who are great at creating separation in Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller. So I think that's going to make a world of difference for him. The offensive line will be a lot better. I'm expecting a really, really good year for Tua, and I think he will be a quarterback one in ADP going into the 2022 season?
Well, I like that. I think he was also kept in a bit of a short leash too. They didn't really let him do too much, probably because of his injury, but they sort of just didn't let him throw too much. And then I think just him taking over without Fitzpatrick being there, his presence is going to take a bit more leadership. And, yeah, I like that too. I can see him really coming up. Just a question without notice. Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this year. Jordan Love steps in. You know, maybe not in the top 12, but how far are you moving him up if he stays healthy and he takes over from day one? Because I know you do like your boy Jordan Love.
I really like Jordan Love. I think he's really talented. I'd take him over Mac Jones. I'm sure I've said that before. If he starts the season, I see him entering that mid QB2 range quite easily. If we knew he was starting today, he might already be there, right? Like if Rodgers was traded tomorrow, he'd probably already be there. But I'll say around QB16, QB15. I think he'd move all the way. I think he'd move all the way up there. Green Bay has a good ecosystem for a young quarterback. Weapons, offensive line.
So you've got to put him ahead of Tannehill, ahead of Stafford, ahead of Rodgers, just on the age alone, right? That young and starting in a good organization. So he's there or thereabouts, isn't he? QB 13, 14, 15, sort of in that range.
In startup ADP, the way I draft, and, you know, with the productive struggle, yeah, he'd be ahead of those guys for me. If I had a win now roster, I wouldn't necessarily trade those guys for Jordan Love. But if you're talking startup ADP, and that's this exercise, right?
Yep.
Talking startup ADP, for me, he'd be ahead of those guys.
Makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So quarterback's done. Let's move on to the wide running backs. And again, I feel like I've gone a little bit cheap here, but you took the other guy I wanted. So all right, it is what it is. You go, mate. Take us through it.
Well, if I wasn't taking him, I was taking your guy too. Derrick Henry, I think he's already reasonably cheap. I picked him up for a single 23rd first just because of his age. I was on a contending team. I thought my first is going to be pretty late. So I'm pretty happy with that. I just think with his age, who knows if they start throwing the ball a little bit more. He's the obvious one there out of that sort of top 12. I think the rest are pretty much close enough. Maybe DeAndre Swift, depending on sort of what ball share he gets. But you know, we are so ageist in Dynasty with running backs. We've seen so many of them just hit that wall. We've been talking about it with Derrick Henry, and he keeps proving us wrong, right? Maybe he's Adrian Peterson light or something, but he might just play into his 50s. But, yeah, for mine, it's Henry.
And as the people who are watching the screen can see, and right now we've got a total of zero, it's Ezekiel Elliott I've got. And, again, feels a bit cheap. He's RB12 in the ADP, going at 27.9 in a super flex. You know, he had a down year last year. Now, I think Zeke will have a really good year. But because of the age and how ageist Dynasty owners are, even if he has a big year, and I'm talking, you know, 1,400 rushing yards, 300-400 yards receiving, I see him dropping out of the top 12 in positional value. And, yeah, I mean, he might even do that before we – if startups keep happening, he might even do that before we enter the season.
You weren't swayed by his skinny workout video? Did you see him? he's looking pretty shredded.
It's encouraging. I think he's going to be super productive this year because Tyrone Smith's going to be back. That O-line, it has to be healthier. It has to be a better situation for him. But in the RB1 conversation, I just don't think he'll be there in startups. 27.9, so basically kind of early third-round pick. No, I think he'll be a tremendous value next year and could finish still as a top 12 finisher this season and next season. But as far as being drafted there, I think those days will be over come this time next year.
Yeah, I think, look, a lot of these young guys are going to push up ahead of him, right? Javonte Williams, maybe Miles Sanders gets back up there, Travis Etienne, Helaire, Mixon, you know, a lot of youth pushing up, and he's getting older. So I like that take as well.
And that's a great segue into who is your guy coming into the top 12?
For me, it's Mixon. I love the situation. Just waiting on him to deliver. Hasn't done it yet. But I think, you know, this is his year, right? If this is not going to happen this year, it's not going to happen. He just needs to stay healthy. There's no competition there for touches. Jamar Chase, absolute superstar. Going to open up that field. Burrow is there as well. So hopefully he can stay healthy. And with that much volume in a bad offense as a pass-catching, youngish running back, I think he skyrockets, and I think he's sort of a steal if you can get him. I know a lot of people are high on him, so you can't get him too much. But if anyone's fading him, just come into my office. I'll snap him up all day long.
That's a good one. I really like that one, Mixon. I really like Joe Mixon to end of that conversation. I think he's definitely going to get the workload. So good pick. The guy I have coming in is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think the problem with Helaire is all the hype he was getting last offseason, and he's left people wanting. You know, he disappointed, and that seeing his ADP pushed down early or towards the back end around 33 overall. So that's what, the 3.09, you know, 3.08, 3.09, somewhere around there. So the back of the third round, and I think he's a screaming value. I can't see anyone there now who is going to take touches away from him. I think he's going to get a full workload on that roster on the Kansas City Chiefs. And if he had ended the year how he started, so if he had struggled at the start of the year like he did at the end of the year, and then performed at the end of the year like he did at the start of the year, I think he'd still be in the top 12, because he was in the top 12 at the start of last season. So he would have stuck in there, and you know, I wouldn't be able to pick him for this exercise.
Well, I think he was injured too, right? He did have a bit of an injury. He still finished as the PPR RB19. So people hating on him a lot, but he really didn't have that bad of a year. And if he takes a step, you can easily see him jumping right up again.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think he can get right up into that mid RB1, RB7, RB6. That's where I'm expecting him to be come the end of this season. I think he's going to finish strongly, firmly as an RB1. Not on the cusp, not RB12 or 11 or 10, but right there, RB7 to RB5 range.
Nice.
So just want to let the people know, today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com, check out their in-depth analysis, articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. And we've been getting lots of, Matt? Activity around our Frankenstein League on Twitter. Justin had a what did Justin have going on Twitter for the Frankenstein League, Matt?
Mate, what didn't he have going on? He had polls, he had bingo, rock, paper, scissors. He drew straws out of a hat. He did it all, that man. He's really grinding. Talk about people grinding. That's Justin with his Frankenstein giveaway. He was all the bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles. Yeah, it was all over the Twitter sphere, Frankenstank. So there's about 10 spots left, and the easiest way to join would be to get into Frankenstank would be to become a Patreon of Tallest of Titles. And the tier one is $3 per month, and that gets you in the Tallest of Titles group chat. Tier two is $5 per month. That gets you early access to our waiver wire episodes, guaranteed entry into our Frankenstank list in the league, and in the T group chat. And then $10 per month gets you one-on-one roster analysis, free entry into the Frankenstein Listener League, T2T team group chat, and early access waiver wire episodes. And like, you could join tier three, pay $10, get into Frankenstein for free, and then change to a lower tier. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be promoting that, Matt, but I mean, it seems like a great way to exploit the system and get into a $25 league for 10 bucks.
Man, we're here for the people. We're not about ourselves. We're here for the people. So smart. I like it.
Anyway, let's move on to the wide receiver discussion. Matt, take us through the wide receiver you have dropping out of the top 12.
Look, for me, this was a bit hard for me, but I settled on Michael Thomas. I do like the talent, but just that situation is a little bit unknown. I had a bit of a poor year yesterday, you know, from the overall consensus wide receiver one, and he was going the first round too, right, last year. He was probably the only early wide receiver going that first round to now already be at the wide receiver 12. And I think if Taysom Hill is a starter, it hurts him. I hope he's not, but I just think that with his age as well, is probably the guy I'm going to have to fade, you know, and he probably doesn't fall far, but a couple of these young studs move up a bit more. You can see him falling one or two spots to go into that 13, 14 range. So, yeah, I've grabbed the low-hanging fruit there, but I'll take Slant Boy, Michael Thomas.
That's a great pick. I mean, he could have a really great season, still finish as a wide receiver one, and because of his age, still see his ADP dropping.
Yeah, you can see that happening.
So, yeah, definitely happening. And so segue into that, I've selected DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's going to have a big year, but then he turns 30 next June. And we know what seeing 3-0 next to a player's name means for their dynasty ADP, Matt.
Dirty 30.
It just means it's just going into the shitter. It's done.
It's getting flushed.
Yeah, get flushed. I don't really know what else to add because I think he's still going to be really, really productive.
I tried to sell him in console wars, as I said several times. You know, multi-copy league. People were just trading left, right, and center, and I got no nibbles. You know, I got some really, really poor offers. No one was interested. You know, and it's got to be that age because on talent and situation, there's not much better talented. There's not many better situations really. We're just ageist, aren't we?
Yeah, I might take advantage, try to send you a couple of trash offers there to get him. I think he's going to be super productive, but I just think being, you know, turning 30 years old, he's going to drop out of that top 12 just because of the 3-0 next to his name. In Dynasty Underdog Listener League that we did that startup, he was already wide receiver 10 there. And I think it's precipitous. It's the beginning of the end. He's going to be one of those players who's you'll never get, if you wanted to trade him, you're never going to get that the value that he gives your roster in terms of points is never going to be what you get in a trade for him going forward.
Yeah, I think specifically because he's not hurt, right? Some of those older guys, Julio, Mike Evans, not that he's at all, but they do get hurt, but he's been on fire. He's been fit. So you're not gonna get what he's worth back unless if you're rebuilding, you might bail on him now. But otherwise, he's probably going to die on your roster because no one's going to give you a decent offer.
Nope. You know,
except maybe, for me, you know, I always send great offers.
Yeah, you send fantastic offers. Look, I think part of a package. You know, maybe use him as part of a package. In a big kind of trade, and that's the way to approach these veterans, you know. Who do you have coming in to the top 12?
For me, it's Ayuk. I sort of ummed and ahed over a few players. I really wish Jamar Chase didn't go to the Bengals because it'd probably be T. Higgins. I know you're really high on T. Higgins too. But for me, Brandon Ayuk, I just think the hype already is great, and he had a bit of a spotty injury filled season. So if he stays fit and with hopefully Trey Lance throwing some bombs to him and that offense taking a step, I think he can jump right up. The hype will be unbelievable. He's got some real truthers out there for him. I do like the talent and I like the situation. So I think, yeah, for him, he could jump into that late wide receiver one territory.
Yeah, agree for sure. He's got all the talent in the world. It's sneaky crowded, though, that 49ers, right? Sneaky crowded. You've got Debo. You've got George Kittle. got all the running backs. Kyle Shanahan's not going to force a ball anywhere, is he? He's going to exploit the matchups that are available to him on the field. So that's the one thing that kind of leaves me a bit trepidatious around Ayuk.
Yeah. Like I said, look, I'm not a Stan. Ayuk Stan. I do like him. I like situation, like the talent. But I know people are like, they just love him, right? There's people just will die for him. So that, I'm sort of banking on that a little bit. If he has a productive year, stays fit. I think that might just be enough to push him up with these guys taking him super early.
Great call. The guy I have who is my wide receiver 15 in this ADP, and it's DJ Moore. I think anybody who has watched this show or listened to this podcast knows how high I am on DJ Moore. I think I've got him as like my wide receiver, you know, 7 or 8 overall in my rankings. I think that he's going to have a massive year. He'll still only be, I think, 25 years old going into next year. And he's going to firmly move into that mid wide receiver one conversation. I feel very, very, very confident that he's going to finish his wide receiver 6 or 7. And his ADP will be there this time next year. I'm expecting 100 catch season out of DJ Moore. And I think we're finally going to see some touchdowns too. Because Sam Darnold's going to be a lot more aggressive than Teddy Bridgewater. Curtis Samuel left that offense. I know Christian McCaffrey was hurt all year, and he's coming back. But Curtis Samuel is close to 1,000 receiving yards. So there's yards there to be had in that offense. And I think those yards and catches, while Terrace Marshall assimilates to the NFL, I think a lot of those are going to go to DJ Moore, and he's going to have a big year.
Yeah, look, I guess for me, I like DJ Moore. I do like Robbie Anderson a lot too. So I think Anderson just takes a little bit away from him again, similar to last year. But I like Sam Darnold. I really rate Sam Darnold. So I think you can see we're just a bit of improved quarterback play. If they can gel early, you could see him jumping up.
So excited to see Sam Darnold in that offense with a creative offensive mind and really good talent around him.
Yeah, I agree. He's still so young too, right? He's super young. So I hope he has a long and...
He just turned 24. I mean, full context, Carson Wentz was 24 in his rookie season.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Still, I mean, where would he have gone if he had gone... If Sam Darnold had gone to... I think I heard this on Lockdown NFL. No, the Williamson and what's the name of the show?
Is it Williamson and Peacock? Is it the...
Yeah, Williamson and Peacock on Lockdown NFL, that they talked about, you know, if Sam Darnold had gone to North Dakota State and had come out as a 24-year-old quarterback, this year, where would he have gone in the draft?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting to think about. And I know you've already mentioned him, but I think my guy T. Higgins is a sneaky, sneaky chance to get into that top 12, even with Jamar Chase. I can't remember the last time we saw teammates in the top 12 for wide receivers. I can't actually think. If it's happened, I don't know when.
Maybe the Steelers with Big Ben. I'm not sure, but that's sort of the only thing that pops to mind.
Yeah, probably when Antonio Brown was still performing really well and before he went crazy and Juju had all the hype. It was probably back then when we had teammates in the top 12. Higgins and Chase, I think there's going to be enough yards for everybody in that offense because I think Burrow's just going to throw the ball so much.
Yeah, they're going to be bad, right? They're going to be trying to play catch up football, bit of garbage time football. And I like Higgins. I think he's a stud. So yeah, you can see, and he's not moving up 10 or 20 spots, right? We're going to talk about half a dozen spots to get him into that top 12. So you could see it happening.
Yeah, for sure. How many yards is Burrow going to throw for? They're going to be down a lot. So I think, you know, with 17 games, he could throw for 5,000 yards.
Yep. You can see it.
Now, on to the next position. But just before I do that, got to get some more of the, what do we call this stuff? A bit more of the pitches out of the way. So look, you can find us on Twitter at FFDormat, at Life from the Ben, at Toys to Titles, and you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, Toys to Titles, When a Family Breaks, and Spotify. please hit the like and subscribe button. And we've still got the Trey Lance mini helmet giveaway. Donate a minimum of $2 to the Tim Tebow Foundation. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and email a screenshot of your donation and subscription to tallesttitles@gmail.com. And now on to the tight end position. Matt, I think we fought over who was going to drop out here. And in the end, we just said, you know, well,
we didn't want to go top 12, right? Because who cares about tight end 10 or 11, you know, or 13? Like, it's they're all the same, aren't they, really? You know, you got half a dozen guys and a couple of dart throws, 7 and 8, but those 10, 11, 12, you know, that's just too easy. So we went top 6 just to change it up a bit. And that sort of made it a little bit harder.
It did. It made it a little bit harder. And we could both only feel confident about one player dropping out of that top 6, and that's Mark Andrews. So why do you think Andrews is going to drop out of the top 6?
Look, I think just on the increased competition there, I think Rashad Bateman, I think he is a superstar. He's going to get plenty of ball. I think there's still a run-first offense. And you do have Tylan Wallace there as well. And considering he's already, is he tight end 5 now? So I think these younger guys move up. I think Hock takes a step, could easily be a top 3 tight end next year. That's why I went Andrews. What about you, Matt? Why did you steal my pick?
Well, I steal your pick? Excuse me, sir. Andrews, in games where he didn't get a touchdown, he wasn't that productive from his receptions and yardage point of view. And like you said, with all the additional weapons that they've added, Sammy Watkins, Rashad Bateman, two guys who I think will have solid seasons for the Ravens, definitely going to take targets away from Andrews. I can't see him maintaining his ADP with those guys. I think Watkins and Bateman will be the top 2 targets in that offense.
Yeah, we're still expecting to be a tight end 1, right? We're not saying he's going to fall out of the top 12, but just out of the top 6.
Yeah, so he's tight end 1. No, he'll still be a tight end 1. But, you know, how much different is there between tight end 16 and tight end 10 in points per game to be that tight end 1? Not much.
Yeah, not much.
And Rashad Bateman, superstar, good to go. Sounds like you've been listening to too much Generally Aware at Fusion FFB with the Rashad Bateman love.
Jeez. Yeah, look, I think I sort of faded him early because of his landing spot, but the longer I've sort of thought on it, the longer I've sort of changed my feelings on it, and yeah, I do really like him. I do like the landing spot, and I hope they start throwing a bit more. I think Lamar is a bit of an underrated thrower, and yeah, I think he's wheels up for Rashad.
So, if the Ravens do throw more, say they threw about 400 times last year, if that goes to 500. Do you still think Mark Andrews drops out of the tight end, top 6 tight end conversation?
Look, I think he does because Hockenson's coming for him. You know, Fant is coming for him. Goddard's coming for him. You know, Gesicki is coming for him. I think all these young players, you know, in good offenses, or they're the only option and they're super talented. So, you know, I think we're both really high on Hock. So you could easily see him becoming a top 3 tight end next year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. I think even if he's statistically he increases to stay in that top 6 conversation, he probably needed 1,000-yard type of season, because I think that's what you're going to get out of Hock. I think Fant's going to get close to that, and those guys are going to just have so much hype around them if they approach those kind of numbers. Whereas the Ravens are just so crowded now.
Well, there's no way he's moving in his top 4, right? Kelce, Kittle, Pitts, well, that's set in stone. You can forget about that. So it's the rest of them that are, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point. Do you think the top 4 stays the top 4?
I think barring injury, it probably does. I think Kelce's getting older. I've seen a couple of guys sell him to what I thought was pretty cheap in some really tight end superflex premium leagues. But he's still going to be productive. He's got the probably best situation. I think his cap hit's minimal to cut him, but obviously, you know, they're not going to do that. You know, they're not going to save much money by cutting him. So I think he plays long and you know, he stays productive, so I can't see him really dropping out of top four. And if Kittle stays healthy, you know, he'll be right up there as well.
Yeah. I think Hockenson enters that top four. I think one of these guys drops out. I think it's Waller or possibly Kittle with all the extra weapons on San Francisco. I could see Kittle's drop yardage dropping, you know, to the 900, 1,000 range and him falling out. Kittle reminds me of Gronk in a way that I'm not sure if he's long for the NFL. I know Gronk's back and he's playing again, but he's not the player that he was. And we talk about tight ends. Our tight ends play and they're elite into their mid-30s. The way George Kittle plays, I don't think he's going to be an elite player like Kelce is at 33, 34 years old.
Yeah, he's been pretty badly banged up. So you can see that happening. And I hope it doesn't, but you can see it happening.
I'll plant my flag and I'll say Hock gets into that elite tier, but I don't want to guess who's going to drop out. It's too hard. I know that's a bit. I'm hedging my bets there, but I think it'll be Waller or Kittle. Kittle's got to stay healthy. If he doesn't stay healthy next season, he's going to lose a ton of value.
Yeah, well, if the Lions get a quarterback upgrade too, you know, if they move on from Goff and they get a quarterback upgrade, Hockenson's had a good year. You can see him. His price skyrocketing.
All right, who else is going to get the ball on Detroit? Who are they throwing to?
Quintez Cephas, maybe.
Maybe. I could see Hook getting 8 or 9 targets a game there. Really balling out.
He's going to bail Goff out a lot. I think he's going to catch a ton of balls.
Yeah, so that was all for our dynasty in and out. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss today, Matt?
Look, not really. I did have a bit of listen to, I think Overtime Island on RotoViz was talking about the Cowboys wide receivers and how everyone is so high on the Steelers wide receivers, but not so much in the Cowboys wide receivers. So I've sort of been moving them up in my ranks, particularly Gallup. I've been moving up a little bit. That's sort of a little bit of fantasy advice that I found quite helpful. What about yourself, mate? Have you anything else you want to discuss?
No, I've just been preparing for this upcoming Devy draft I have that kicks off tomorrow. So it's a Devy startup with a superheroes villains theme league. Really excited for it. Brandon, who we've had on previously, is the commissioner of this league. Cap of 50 Devys. Sure, I'll be talking about it a little bit on some upcoming podcasts as the draft goes on.
Nice. I've got a bit of Devy strategy, which let's save for a future episode before your startup starts. But I'd like to maybe pick your brain so you think about it, and we'll later on in the year we can float it.
For sure. Sounds like a plan.
Bit of a teaser
for the people. Give the people what they want. Anyway, that's us done for this episode. We're going to enjoy the rest of our lockdown weekend, and I hope, you know, everybody over in the States has a great weekend. Matt, do you want to wish the people farewell?
Farewell, guys. 20 days, less than 20 days till football. So loving that Hall of Fame game. It's actual football. About 19 days left, so it's coming.
Have you got your renewal email for NFL Game Pass?
I haven't got it yet. I haven't got it, but I did see you can renew already. So how about you? Have you?
Yeah, I got my email, mate.
Maybe it's in my spam. I better check it.
Check the spam. Anyway, people, have a great weekend. Ciao.